Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is 1st June and in South Africa, it is Youth Month. And I am so excited because today on the studio, we've got Shanaz, Nelly, Myrtle and myself. And we are for this entire month of June going to be talking to the wonderful youth out there. So very quickly to our ladies out here, there was a question by one of the youth. And this question goes like this. How do we condition our mind to not compete for popularity? Now, I thought before we answer this question, let's define what is compete and what is popularity. Compete means strive to gain or win something by defeating or establishing superiority over others. And then popularity is the quality of being well-liked and having a lot of friends and admirers. What are your thoughts on that, Myrtle?
Spend time with the Holy Spirit, then you will become humble. In the Bible, Galatians 5:23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Deuteronomy 28:13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top, never at the bottom. In humility comes uplifting, promotion.
Wow, that is amazing. So here, youth, here is Myrtle's advice to you on how to condition your mind so that you can avoid the attitude of being vain and prideful where it's all about you. What are your thoughts on that, beautiful Nelly?
Let me read from 1 John chapter 2. From verse 16 in the Living Translation, it says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. So it's very important that we, as young people that love the Lord, we are not caught up to the standard of this world. The standard of this world is the one that wants you to be famous, wants you to have all things that are best. But the Bible says all those things is because of the work of the flesh. So as the children of God, we need to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So we need to make sure that in everything that we do, we run away from the flesh. Because the flesh, it makes you to feel better than other people. It makes you to look down on other people. You know, people, their standards of living according to what they have achieved. But remember, it is only God that promotes people. We must have faith in God, not faith in material things. Thank you.
Thank you, beautiful Nelly. Here you have it, youth, from Pastor Nelly. Shanaz, talk to us.
Thank you. I think, yes, that's an important question for our youngsters. I mean, the world teaches us to be very competitive. But if we look at James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. And then verse 15 says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So we know that when we are self-seeking, that it is not from the Lord, because the Lord wants us to love peaceable. I think verse 18 says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the Lord wants us to love in harmony and in peace. We are not here to compete against one another, but we are here to serve one another. And truly the Lord Jesus demonstrated this whilst he was on the earth. He was never in competition with anyone. He was never here to promote himself. But he truly was here to fulfill the mandate of God. And so do we, whilst we are on this earth, while we are traveling and journeying on this earth, we have to love peaceably. We have to ensure that we demonstrate the love of Jesus at all times.
So youth, I'm not even going to add to this. You've got some solid counsel on how to condition your mind so that you don't compete for popularity. Now the next question, this is what the youth are asking us. Do we think war is still relevant in today's world? With an example, the Russian and Ukraine war happening. So when I got this question, the first thing I said is, let me understand for myself why there there is war and what does war actually mean. So, war is defined as a state of armed conflict between different countries, or civil war, for those of you that heard the word civil war, is a conflict between different groups, government and non-government, within a country. So you get war between different countries and you get civil war in a country between different stakeholders. Why do people go to war? There's war because of religious issues, land grab, environmental issues, resource scarcity, which we'll talk about just now, political, etc., etc. So very quickly, just talking about some wars. Longest war before this war was World War II, which was ending in 1945 but started in 1939. What was that war all about? That war was when Hitler in the German army wanted to invade Poland, and so the Axis powers, the main countries were Germany, Italy and Japan, came against the Allied powers, which is the main players were the UK, US, Russia and China. So they came together to stop what was happening between the Axis powers. The war began with Germany invading Poland, and then Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and their rivalry, the US decided to respond with nuclear bombing over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Fatalities were between 70 and 85 million. 60% of these fatalities were civilians. This is very, very sad. Innocent people dying because of war between countries, all because Hitler wanted to invade Poland. And so now in current day, we have conflicts like land and tribal and ethnicity issues. Let's look at some of that. Interreligious conflicts like the Palestinian and Israel conflict regarding water control of Jordan River in Gaza. Then you have the Tigris and Euphrates River, which runs through Turkey and Syria and Iraq. And there, because of the scarcity of water, and they all have agricultural demands, there are wars over water. And then we look at the Palestinian and Israel conflict over ownership of land. So then you've got the tribal issues there. And then the Ukraine and Russia issue. It's an international conflict. 15,000 casualties and 8,800 that has been killed, according to Statista SA. So war is happening, and why people actually go to war is because they have a demand, and they're desperate for that demand, either power, land, or religious issues, or scarcity of resources, then they fight to get it. Now, what does the Bible say about war, ladies? Who wants to go first? Shanaz?
Yes, definitely. It's a good question. And I think it's important that the youth understand why we're facing this as well. When we look at God's word, I think what really stands out for me, and you know, it speaks to the end times. So although we know that people are warring, as you describe, because of their own personal agendas that they have, but the word of God in Matthew 24 verses 6 to 14 also tells us that you will hear wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom.
Myrtle, what have you got to say about war?
Angelina, according to the Bible, Mark 13:7 says that, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Confirming what Jesus told them, wars is going to happen.
Nelly, what are your thoughts on war?
Yes, ladies, as you just said, I do agree with you that this is what the Bible has prophesied. It's going to be there. Why? The reason is we've got people who've got their own selfish motives. It's because of we are not godly people. We don't fear God. Everybody wants to prove that they've got more knowledge, more power. They are intelligent. They can do better than others. They oppress other people. Like as we are talking about the war of Russia and Ukraine, you know, Russia, it sees itself as a superpower. So it wants to even to prove to America that we are better than you. It's about the ego that people are having. So it's the things that we're not going to run away from them in these last days. The more time goes, the more people they grow in knowledge, the more they grow in strength, and the more they want to oppress the poor. And when you look here in Africa right now, we've got the war in Sudan. And you can imagine, it's two people that used to work with each other, but now they are fighting for what? Fighting for resources, fighting, you know, for, because corruption has entered into the heart of men. So they don't care about the people who are dying, they just want power. So we have to understand that these wars, they're still gonna come. You know, it's not about whether it's relevant now or what, but it is the heart of a man not fearing God. Thank you, ladies.
I love what you're saying, Nelly. It's the heart of man not fearing God. So is it relevant? It's not about whether it's relevant or not. It is the heart of man that causes them to war. People that want to have power and superiority, and like what Nelly said, they want to be strong and a powerful nation, they will pull down other nations just to be strong. And if they're desperate for resources, they're going to do the same. So God saw what was going to happen in the future and therefore put it in Matthew, put it in Mark, and put it in Luke, saying, do not be afraid when you hear of this. It's going to happen, not because God arranged it. He foreseen the future of how they were going to behave. So let us start with our questions. We've got about 9 questions left. Nelly, why are some people born with defects, mental or physical, if God has made us in His image?
This is a very interesting question. When we read the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 2, we see there from verse 7 that God created man from the dust. They breathed in him and the man became a living soul. So when we are made in the image of God, I believe that we were made perfect because God is perfect. But because of sin, that is why we find ourselves having people who are born blind, people who are born sick. We can even see when Jesus came and he healed that blind man, and they asked him, why is this man blind? Did he sin or the parents sin? Jesus said, no, it's not that. It's because God wants to show his power. So it's very important for us to understand that everything that is bad that is happening to us, it was not orchestrated by God. It is because of the sin that we fell into. Remember, we are still in this world. We are still in this fallen state because this world is a place that is not perfect. As we are living, we are waiting for Christ to come and to give us a glorified body, the body that will never experience sickness and disease. It will never experience pain. The body that when Jesus rose from the dead, it is the body that was able to enter even when the door is closed and the window is closed. You know, a powerful body that will never experience even death. But as long as we are living in this world, we're still going to experience pain. You know, there will be women that will give birth to deformed babies. Not to say they are cursed. There's so many things that happens when somebody is in such a way. Even the food that we are eating these days, it causes other people not to grow correctly. So many things that harm and disturb the growth of a child in the womb of the mother. So we can't say God that doesn't know, he doesn't understand, or why can't he do something? God wants us to trust him even in the midst of pain we are facing, in the midst of the challenge that we are facing. He wants us to have faith in him until we are going to heaven and have that glorified body. But the one that we are living in right now, we're still going to have some challenges with it. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, beautiful Nelly. God is goodness. When Moses asked God, reveal yourself, God said, my goodness will pass by, because God is goodness. And in goodness, there is no defects or deformity or imperfection, right? And when it says here, the question again, why are some people born with defects, mental or physical, if God has made us in his image? I think, Nelly, you brought it out so beautifully. When God created us, he created us perfect like him. But the minute Adam and Eve had sinned, the fallen nature had come into effect. Therefore, everyone born has born in the fallen nature. Born again, your spirit is perfect, but your body will still perform in that fallen nature until Jesus comes and transfigures us into our perfect being. So thank you, Nelly. You've articulated it pretty well. Let us not, listeners, blame God for defects, because the fallen nature had caused our bodies to become like that. And unless you exercise your full measure of faith that God has given you, you will not be able to walk in the fullness of your perfected body. You have to believe that when God restored you, that he restored you in the fullness. And unless you believe that, you will walk in that fallen nature, right? Okay, so next question to Shanaz. Why is it that when we get closer to God, we have more problems than anything, and these are the things happening in our home?
I reflect on John 16:33. Jesus said, "Have I told you these things so that in me you may have peace? In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus knew that, you know, he sees, as you said, Angelina, the end, where we only see what's happening currently, and Jesus foreknew already that we will experience trouble. But he says, take heart, do not be discouraged, because he's already overcome the world. I also want to reflect on 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. It says, the weapons we fight with are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, as you rightfully said, we're in a fallen world currently, and so there's a demonic force that's active, and Satan constantly wants to discourage us, distract us, bring disorder and bring discontent. And we have to understand, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, so it's not our own family perhaps that we're fighting against. The enemy is forming weapons against us, wanting to discourage us, wanting to distract us, wanting to make sure there's disorder or discontent. But we have to fight through our prayer life. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of discernment so that we can rightfully divide the truth and understand that it's the enemy behind all of these troubles that we are facing. But Jesus said he's overcome the world. And so we also already have overcome the world. And we have to apply wisdom, making sure that we understand what is actually happening around us. It's the enemy forming weapons against us. Ephesians 6 from verse 10, it says that we need to dress ourselves with the full armor of God. It's so important that we put on the helmet of salvation that guards our mind, so that when the enemy forms these weapons, that we do not see it only with our natural eye, but we have faith through the word of God, and having the truth of God, which is our belt, which girds our waist, which makes us strong. So that is the word of God that keeps us strong in our faith. And when we have the breastplate of righteousness, we ensure that every fiery dart that the enemy is sending that wants to bring us down in terms of feeling discouraged, or perhaps sending a weapon that's causing us to feel bitter or angry, we have that breastplate that guards our hearts so that it doesn't take root. We also have the sword of the Spirit, and then, you know, the word of God prepared on our feet that speaks to us being firm in God's word, understanding God's word and how we have to apply, taking up the various scriptures that we can declare over our lives, over our loved ones, also praying for those that still not saved yet. God's given us specific scriptures that we can use so that our loved ones does not go astray as well. But God is our dear God. You know, even from behind, sometimes the enemy plays dirty games. He will attack you from your back. But, you know, God is our real God. Isaiah 8. And so, you know, the full armor of God is so important for us as believers. We have to make sure every day we put on the full armor of God. And this is another tool that the Lord has given us so that these troubles does not discourage us. Speak to the problems that we face. We do not have to do it through the natural order which the world teaches us, which is either shouting and ranting and raving at one another, but do it peacefully through our prayer life, consulting Abba Father, taking everything to him in prayer. And so when we take authority of those weapons that's being formed against us, we already have the victory.
Thank you so much, Shanaz. Yes, put on your armor, okay? Ephesians 6. Now the next question is, how can you rise when you feel like your world is falling apart? I'm going to talk about the account of David, because there is no better person in the Old Testament that has been through a lot of challenges from his own personal families, etc., that can tell us how to deal with life when everything is falling apart. Here David, as a young man, gets anointed to be the next king of Israel, but the whole world is coming apart. Even the king of Israel is out to attack him. Saul appoints David as the captain army of Israel. David finds favor with all of Israel. King Saul gets intimidated by everybody honoring David. They're saying Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain 10,000s. So King Saul gets intimidated by all the attention that David is getting. Envy arises in Saul. He gets angry. He watches David closely from day to day. And he even twice tried to throw a spear at David, but David escapes. Now, this is a man who David protected them from the Philistine army. This is a man who plays music so that demons don't interfere with Saul. And yet Saul wants to kill this very man. Saul is so envious about David, he then decides, I'm going to put a snare. I'm going to tell him, I'm going to give him my daughter for him to marry. But the condition is he must go and get 100 Philistine foreskins. Now, Saul thought that David wasn't strong enough to go and get the 100 Philistine foreskins, and all that 100 Philistines will actually come together and kill David. So he thought by putting David at the forefront of the Philistines, he will get rid of David once and for all. But lo and behold, David went and he came back with 200 foreskins, and Saul had no choice but to make him son-in-law. And so you see the drama going along, where now David had to run from the king because the king was out to kill him. He's disappointed because that is his father-in-law. At the same time, he can't retaliate to Saul, even though he has the ability to kill Saul because he was quite a powerful man, but he knew that he was anointed by God, so there was no way he can kill God's anointed. So David was on the run. And how did he encourage himself, youth? He didn't retaliate by fighting. He didn't dishonor and disrespect the king. He didn't go and gossip about the king. When he ran from the king, he went to the priest and he still covered up and he said, no, I'm here on agenda for Saul. Meanwhile, he was running from Saul. He honored the king through it all. I mean, there was a time where he was in the cave and Saul came there to have a refreshing moment, and he only cut off a cloth of Saul's garment and he said, here, why do you want to kill me, father? I am for you, but you against me. That's how hurting he was. He could have killed him there with all his army men, but he honored the king, he honored his father-in-law, and he rather ran than retaliate. That was the man that David was. Psalm 55, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He said here, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walked about among worshipers. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet there is war in his heart. His words are more than soothing oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken, but you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. He rose up when his world was falling apart. Remember, his wife was separated from him. They were after his family, so he had to take his family and protect them by another nation. So everything was falling apart. But even his own men got frustrated and they were out to get him, and he prayed. There was a prayer in the cave, Psalm 142. He cried out to the Lord. He says, yeah, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before God. I declare before you, my God, my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me, O God. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, you, O Lord. I said you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. This is how David encouraged himself in the Lord, dear listeners. Dear youth, if you are having challenges with your families, with your friends, with school, with your peers, you just have to cry out to the Lord, because here's a man, soon to be king of Israel, cried out to the Lord. He had a relationship with the living God. He took his burdens to the Lord and he lifted in himself by encouraging himself in the Lord. And that is how you can rise up when you have challenges. Read the book of Psalms, because in there David expresses his heart, his brokenness, his joy in happy times, in low times. He encouraged himself in the Lord and he was able to be strong and able to be a good king over Israel. The next question: what are the best solutions to fixing a problem in a relationship with a father, with sons, with friends, according to the Bible?
Angelina, let's go straight into the Word of God and see what the Bible says about fixing a relationship problem God's way. It is very important to restore relationships. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament how to restore relationships according to the Word of God. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says, and that's in the New King James Version, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then the MSG translation says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, agree with each other, love one another, be deep-spirited friends.
I love that, Myrtle.
1 Corinthians 6, 5, also the New King James Version. I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. And then the TEV translation says, shame on you. Surely there is at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. And then 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, also at the New King James Version. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there is no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Then the MSG translation says, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. Matthew 5, 9, King James Version. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. NLT translation says, Jesus said, God bless those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. And then in Job 18, verse 4, the New King James, you who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be removed from his place? TEV translation says, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. And then 2 Corinthians 5:18 in the New King James Version. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The MSG translation says, God has called us to settle our relationship with each other.
Amen.
According to the Bible, you have to fix your relationships if you have a disagreement with one another. Love one another. God is love. God loves you with an everlasting love. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
I absolutely love that. Thank you, Myrtle. So, yeah, listeners, you have to apply it. Like Myrtle says, she's read the word of God to you. God requires us to make peace with one another. So please take advantage of all the scriptures she's read. Humble yourself and be the first person to go forward and make peace with your parents, with your sisters, your brothers, your friends, and whoever else you have a gripe with. Our next question, number 7 to Shanaz. Were there any relationships in the Bible, husband and wife, that did not have any problems with each other? Shanaz, when a youth asks this question, it's telling you that couple challenges are affecting children. So this is concerning. Talk to us, ma'am.
Definitely. Thank you, Angelina. I think there's so much challenges from a relationship perspective. The youngsters nowadays don't persevere. They give up so easily. But when we look at God's word, I'm reminded of Abram and Sarah. Sarah was unable to fall pregnant, and she took one of her maidservants to be a child for her, so that Abram has an heir. But then the book of Genesis chapter 18, from verses 10 until 15, and then the angel of the Lord spoke to Sarah there, that she would be with son. But she was actually listening while Abram was being told all of this. And she actually laughed in her heart, you know. So I can imagine, even though the writer doesn't speak to the challenges that they faced because they had no children, but as a woman, she had a yearning for this. So it probably did bring about some challenges within the marriage itself, because we see that in the book of Genesis chapter 17, she took a maidservant to stand proxy for it so that the maidservant could actually have a child. But yeah, God promises that she would have a child. So this definitely was a challenge in their relationship, because she was yearning for it. And then later on, God promises her to have a child. In the book of Job, we see where all his belongings was taken. Everything was taken when his life was under attack from Satan. Eventually, when his health was also under attack, his wife eventually said to him, "Why don't you just curse God? Why don't you leave God, and you're still holding fast to your integrity?" So yeah, we can see that this probably did bring some chaos within their marriage as well. But you know what? Job stood with her, even though she was actually telling her husband to curse God. Job didn't leave her. So perseverance, you know, these relationships tells us that although they're having problems, they basically stood with their partners. And I think in this day and age, everything is quick and easy. You can basically just get a divorce so quickly. But the word of God teaches us here that these men and women of God stood by each other. They never just gave up. Through all the problems, through all the challenges, David, his wife, Michal, where she had to lie to her father because she needed to hide her husband. You spoke about it earlier, Angelina. You know, there was obviously challenges where David had to be in hiding. He must have been gone away from her for a very long time. That in itself can bring a challenge as well. I've also wondered, when will her husband come back to her again? But through all of this, one thing that we can see, the consistency that they stuck it out. And that's something that our youngsters have to persevere. You know, when we choose our partners, we must do it based on how God leads us. And so we shouldn't give up when there's problems and challenges.
Nelly, how do you continue to love people and see them in a good way when they're continually hurting you?
Beautiful Angelina and Pastor Shinaz and beautiful Medel, all of you have touched scriptures. These scriptures that you spoke about, I believe the youth, they are having their pen and the paper, they are writing them down, because really these scriptures, they agree as I'm going to answer this question. Because this question, it says, how do you love? There is nothing that is above love. When you read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way.
It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, Pastor Shinas, as you were sharing about Ephesians chapter 6, that to put on the armor, it's very important that as young people, they must put on the armor, because we know that the battlefield where devil is always coming and put on evil thoughts in your mind, it's your head. So when you put on the armor, you protect yourself so that when somebody hurts you, you are not overthinking about what the person has done, but you continue to renew your mind with the word of God. You always go to a place where you remind yourself that God is love. God loved me. I'm a human being. I have done mistakes, but God didn't punish me for that. So even you will have that grace to extend it to other people. You know, sometimes when people, they hurt you, instead of you being hurt, you will feel pity for them, because you will understand that they do these things because they don't understand. Because that's what Christ did. He said, Father, forgive them. Because what they are doing, they're thinking that they are punishing me. They're thinking that they are killing me. But they don't understand what they are doing. So as children of God, people, they continue, we extend love to them, but they continue to hate us. We have to come to a place where we are in the presence of the Lord, understanding that what they are trying to do is not actually to hate us, but is to remove us from the love of God, to make us to be on their side, where we are going to live in bitterness, where we are going to want to avenge, because we didn't put the breastplate of righteousness. If you are putting a breastplate of righteousness, your heart is protected from whatever weapons that the enemy is shooting at you, so that you can have bitterness. But we need to put on the armor and reject whatever Satan is bringing. Because as children of God, we know that God doesn't want us to avenge. He is the one that he will fight for us. I love what you said, Angelina. You were talking about David. I love David. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You know, when God said, I love David because he's the man after my own heart. Why did God say that? Because we know that David made so many mistakes. David, you know, there are things that he did that even me and you, we never done those things. But because David had a repentant heart, every time when he will do a mistake, David will run unto God and cry out unto God and call upon God, and God will forgive him. So even us, when we find that people are hating us, we must run unto God, because sometimes you react without even thinking. So run to God and cry out unto God and pray for the people that are hating you. The Lord is the one that knows why those people, they are hating you. One day he will reveal things to you, and then you will understand yourself, because now you are living in the spirit. You are no longer in the flesh. So when you look at them, instead you are feeling pity for them about the things that they are doing to you. You are no longer getting angry about them. You know, your emotions are not ruled by what they say, but you are ruled by the love of God that is in you. So Corinthians is telling us that love doesn't judge. We mustn't judge those people. We don't know why are they doing things that they are doing. Some people, they are hating. That's why they continue to hurt other people. It's because of what they are facing. People cannot give you love if they don't have love. So you, as a child of God, because God loved you and he poured his love in you, extend that love to those ones who are hating. It's not an easy journey, but it is doable. If the Spirit of God is in you, if you walk with God day and night, if you pour your heart unto him, if you pray for those people, let me tell you, as you continue to walk with God, as you continue to walk in the Spirit, you will find out that it's so easy to love people that are unlovable. It's so easy to love people that are talking bad about you. It's so easy for you to pray for your enemies. So if you say, I'm a born again, I'm a child of God, but you don't have the DNA in you of God, you don't read the word of God, you don't pray, you don't spend time with God, yes, you're going to end up getting hurt all the time and accumulating anger and bitterness. And immediately you have those things in you. How are you going to put the armor of God? It's not possible. Remember, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against the principalities. And most of people who are outside God, they are ruled by those spirits. And those spirits, what are they looking for? They are looking for the peace that God has put in us. So we must fight for our peace at all costs. We must protect the peace that God has given us and refuse it with it and say, you can say every evil thing about me. You can try to bring me down. You can try to steal from me, but you are not going to get my peace. That's how we deal with people that continue to hurt us. We continue to love them and to allow even the peace of God to take care of us. Thank you, Angeline.
Wow, Nelly, I absolutely love that. You can just hear the shepherd's heart in you. Nelly is not just a powerful businesswoman and a mentor in leadership, but she's also a pastor, and you can just hear the pastor's heart for the sheep. Thank you so much, beautiful Nelly. I love what you'd speak about peace. Jesus said to the disciples before he left, I leave my peace with you. So I encourage you, youth out there, take the peace of God. It is here for you. Take it, embrace it, and let it protect you. Okay? Our next question goes out to Myrtle. When people belittle you, how do you deal with the emotions and not allow that to affect your identity? You know, Myrtle, a lot of children, a lot of youth are going through this bullying, and people are pulling one another down just so that they can be moved higher. And this affects their identity and it gives them a low morale, a low, you know, esteem. So how can you encourage them that when people belittle them, they do not lose their identity?
You know, Angelina, normally somebody with a low self-esteem will belittle other people. When somebody belittle you, just make a joke of it and see how you bring out Christ in you. You have the mind of Christ and you are made in the image of God. So nobody can belittle you or make you feel bad. If you cover yourself with the word of God, the Holy Spirit will help you to say the right words at the right time. People that make a person feel small are jealous people and feel they gain success out of their wicked comments. What does the Bible say about this kind of people? Proverbs 11:12 NLV translation says, it is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. 1 Timothy 4:12-14 New King James Version. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the leadership. The NIV translation says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of scriptures, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the elders. Romans 14:10, New King James Version says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember one thing, hurting people hurt other people. Forgive them and pray for them. God is a God of love. Don't lose faith. In Isaiah 41:10, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a mighty God we serve, Angelina.
Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Absolutely. You know, I love what Myrtle is saying there, that you just got to pray for the other people and know who you are in Christ Jesus. There's no tit for tat in Christianity. So how you overcome this is by filling yourself with the word of God and forgiving and loving. What's interesting is whatever is actually flowing through between Shanaz, beautiful Nelly, and yourself, we're seeing the love of God dealing with all the issues of life. So the pattern and the theme that's coming out today, our youth, is that love is the central point of dealing with all the challenges that you are experiencing. Love is the central point, and that is the Father's love. I think we've got two more questions. So Shanaz, does praise and worship must be singing and dancing, or are there other ways to praise and worship the Lord?
Quite a relevant question as well. And I think, you know, it just shows what the youngsters are thinking about. So glad that they're probing us and getting us to think about this as well. So if I briefly just want to give the definitions of praise, the Hebrew word says it's halal. It means to be clamorously foolish, or it means another definition is to shine or rave, and at last to act madly. So King David, and I love it. Beautiful Angelina, you spoke about King David earlier, and I think beautiful Nelly as well. So he was quite a prominent character in the Bible, and we see how he applied this halal. In the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6, David danced before the Lord with all his might in the midst of his subjects and servants. His exuberant worship put his wife Michal in contempt when she confronted him with it. David replied and said, I will dance before the Lord, and I will dishonor myself and humble myself even more. You know, so when we think about praise, it's not something that we just do in our quiet time, but we can give thanks to the Lord in everything that we do, whether we in our work, in our studies, we can always honor God and praise Him in everything that we do. When we think of worship, the Hebrew word for worship is barak, which means kneeling down in reverence. And we can see this happening in various portions of the Bible, Genesis 24, verse 26, and we see here the man bow down his head and worship the Lord. So it's a physical act where you're prostrating yourself before God. 1 Samuel 15, verse 31, so Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Psalm 29, verse 2, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So worship can be done in your quiet time, but it's also then an act of your heart. So it's a state of your heart. And what you basically demonstrate in worship is when you honor God in reverence, in your conversation with your fellow students, colleagues, friends, family, where you display this reverence of God, where you basically also demonstrate your love. And we spoke about, beautiful Angelina spoke about, this entire topic is basically pulling us all to love. And love, God is love. You know, it's so beautiful. Our hearts is actually then a demonstration of praise and worship is love. Everything that we do, we need to honor God, because after all, He is our King. I also just want to bring your attention to another scripture that speaks about true worshipers. You know, true worshipers are not those who only demonstrate praise and worship in their quiet time, but it's in everything that they do. They always give thanks unto God, always recognizing that it's God's grace upon their lives that has brought them to the place where they are. So He's definitely seeking after those true worshipers. And so it's a state of our heart. It's no longer something that we just do in private, but when we speak to our family, our friends, our peers, our colleagues, that we demonstrate that we worship God, we barak. You know, we allow God.
Wow, Shanaz, amazing, amazing. So for our listeners out there, youth, Shanaz is not just only a professional banker, and she's in leadership in banking, but she's also a pastor. So you can see how beautifully she's articulated praise and worship. And it's not just singing up there and creating an atmosphere in church, but she says praise and worship is also an act of love, where we exhibit love in everything we do. Thank you, precious Shanaz. And now the last question before we do our last group session. We leave this last question to Nelly. Nelly, Nelly, Nelly. Are the things that churches do, like Bible study, Bible school, church events and programs, important in having a relationship with God and going to heaven?
You know, I love the question that the youth is asking. It shows that they want to break out from this religion of the way we do church. The foundation in Proverbs chapter 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You must have a relationship with God yourself. Church is not about all the activities that we are doing, but it's about a relationship with Christ Jesus. Beautiful Shinaz was talking about worship. The church is not only about worship, and some people, they are good worshippers. They stand there, they write beautiful songs, but their heart is not the heart of God. You know, they don't have the heartbeat of the Father. So that is why the Bible tells us that in the last days, there will be people that God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So it's very important that we need to serve God in truth and in spirit. Thank you, Angelina.
Wow, thank you so much, Nelly. And, you know, with that said, I want us to go to the last question. And this one is, I like to surprise you ladies, and I'm sure you know that, right? Every week I come up with a surprise. I'm going to share my question with you only because I'm curious to know a life lesson in your life. I'm going to start, so it gives you time to prepare yourself. So I was asked this question: what are the three life lessons you learned through experience and not by someone teaching you? So I'm going to say one life lesson in 2 minutes, and then I'm going to give each of you an opportunity to share something about a life lesson that you learned through experience and not by somebody teaching you, okay, through trial and error. I think to start mine, I'm going to start with what Nelly just said now, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I didn't have that growing up. I went to church, I was baptized in the Spirit, I had these high moments in the Spirit, but I didn't have the fear of the Lord because I was bitter and angry growing up. I had an unstable home life growing up because of dad being an alcoholic. So I grew up in a lot of rebellion in my heart, and I dishonored my mom and dad. And nobody told me, hey, listen, this is what the Bible says, honor your mother and father in the Lord so that you could have the promise of a long, good life and a prosperous life. And after backsliding for about 12 years, two failed marriages, I became reborn at the age of 32. I gave my life to the Lord. I had a personal experience that changed my life forever, and I just fell in love with Jesus all over again. It was Father's Day. I was singing Happy Father's Day to our Abba Father, and he said, wishing me Happy Father's Day, but what about your dad? And it was then and there I realized that for God, honoring my dad, my earthly dad, was important. Irrespective, at that time, dad was still having the alcoholic environment. But Abba Father, it bothered him that I dishonored dad. For God, that was important. If God wanted to bless me, then he knew that I can't bless you when you dishonor daddy. So he reminded me, what about your earthly dad? So I eventually went home. I wrote a 17-page letter to my father, telling him all the hurts, offenses, and pains that I experienced from growing up. Blamed him for the two marriages that I went through, even though it's not his fault. I was just in rebellion, so I made poor decisions. And it was then and there that my life had turned around. And then I began to see the goodness of God in my life. And so for me, the life lesson I learned the hard way, after two failed marriages, after becoming an alcoholic myself in my early 20s, up until the age of 31, I realized that honoring your father and mother is a biblical truth. That when you honor your father and mother, it is the first commandment with a promise of a long, good life and a prosperous life. God has just been faithful and loving and protecting me because I chose to honor my mom and dad. And that is the life lesson I would like to give today to our listeners. Youngsters out there, let God be the judge of your father and mother. If you are growing up in a home where it's dysfunctional, honor them, and honor is a heart attitude. You can smile with your lip service and do everything they tell you to do, but in your heart you can be wicked and rebellious. Because I was afraid of daddy because of his violence and alcoholism, so I would do everything he would say in this, in the natural, but in my heart I rebelled against him. So God judges the heart of a man. So I urge you today, youth, look at your heart. If you're dishonoring your mother and father, dishonoring your spiritual parents, because the word of God says honor your mother and father in the Lord, so it means not just your biological parents, but also your spiritual parents. If you're dishonoring them in your heart, I urge you to repent, because there is the first commandment that says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise of a long, good, prosperous life. So youth, if you're looking for that long, good, quality life and prosperous life, please submit to the Lord, honor his word by honoring your mom and dad and your spiritual parents, and let God be the judge of them. Don't judge them, okay? Yes, Myrtle, your life lesson.
Angelina, can I tell you something?
Yep.
I grew up in a house that my mom used to take us to church, and I did the same with my children. But the big thing is, I thought I was a Christian. I went to church every single Sunday, come home, have a worldly life, go to church on a Sunday, come home, and be in a worldly, you know, environment. And my husband didn't, he was very upset with me, because he said, you can't go to the church and then be cross and swear when you come out of the service and pretend you're a Christian. And I got very cross at that. But at that point, I thought I was a Christian because I was going to church. Then I had to lose my husband to find God. So you disappoint your parents, I disappoint God. And that is 20 times worse, Angelina. Do not honor God. You think you're a Christian, but you go to church and you don't honor him. You come back from church and you have a worldly life where you swear. I had to lose my husband to become a Christian that I am today. And I thank God that he found me and that he forgave me and that I am a child of God today.
And I love what Myrtle is saying. It's going back to what beautiful Nelly said, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I love it, Nelly. Talk to us.
My experience is, I grew up in church. My grandfather was a pastor. So I was a church girl since I was born. But I didn't have an encounter with God. I will hear people, they will call, altar call, people will go in front, accept Jesus, and I'll be just there singing and doing everything. But I didn't want to go in front to go and accept Christ, because I was feeling like, I'm in church, I know him, I can pray, I can do whatever. Until I become a teenager. And you know, in my life, there was a time where I felt like, I need to go out of the church because I'm bored. It's like I don't feel anything. And when I try to go to the world, I just find out that I don't fit in. I tried so hard, I couldn't fit in. Until I had an encounter with God, I gave my life to Christ, not inside the church. No one preached to me. That day, I just said to God, you know what? I am tired. I'm no longer going to live like this. I need you in my life. As from today, I am a born-again Christian. That's how I experienced God myself. So as young people, you need to understand that you can go to church and be like everybody in church. Until you yourself, you have an encounter with him, you are not going to feel this peace that you are feeling. You're not going to be happy the way we are. You're not going to feel the joy that we are feeling. So I'm encouraging you that have an encounter with God yourself.
Thank you. Beautiful angel. Thank you. Over to you, Shanaz.
Thank you, Angelina. So what I'd like to share with the listeners and the young people today, I was born a Muslim and then converted, was born again at the age of 15. My parents also, father was also born a Muslim. He also converted then at that stage in his life when I was 15. And unfortunately, when I turned 18, my dad had divorced my mum. So the enemy came and robbed us of our father. which left me brokenhearted. And so the family was broken, you know. And obviously, if the enemy gets that right, what happens in our hearts? We reject our parents and we become bitter. And what I learned in that period, the Holy Spirit taught me to let go and to forgive. Speaking about having the love of Christ in my heart and the ability of the Holy Spirit that taught me to let go and forgive. And, you know, this is something that was really self-taught because still being a young convert, didn't have much knowledge of the Word of God, was attending church, but nobody actually taught me that. And I think, you know, the Holy Spirit taught me that. So I want to encourage the listeners today, you know, if people have abandoned you, if they've left you, you know, we've been speaking about love. Let the love of God come into your heart. Let it consume you so that you are able to forgive others that has perhaps hurt you. You know, that's the worst thing that we can do is walk around with this bitterness, this anger, this resentment, because what happens, it spills over into our own lives and we just destroy our own lives. But the love of God is here, so allow Him to minister to your heart this evening. Let the love of God come into your heart. Let it heal every broken place and just hand it over to Him. You don't have to walk around with this burden.
For Grampian listeners and our youth out there, we trust that you were blessed with what has been shared today. These are questions that you have been asking us, and we believe that you are blessed with the responses because we know that it came from heaven. We are just the mouthpiece of God. Look out for next week as we come and touch you with another 10 responses. You've given us over 20 questions, so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to unpack more questions coming your way. Do not miss it. But as we close today, I'm going to ask you, Shanaz, please pray for the listeners out there that the love of God will touch and move their hearts. I ask you to please pray for them now.
Father God, we just want to come before your throne room and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you see every heart, every mind this evening. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will touch every broken heart, every worried mind this evening with the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will bring comfort and peace, that you will bring restoration this evening. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will enable those that are struggling this evening to forgive, that's sitting with resentment and bitterness and rejection. We come against it with the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we ask, oh Holy Spirit, that you will just come into the hearts of your children this evening, that you will touch them, that you will heal them, that you will bring them into right standing this evening with Abba Father, that you will cause the love of God just to flow over their lives, that the peace of God will sustain them this evening. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that they will wake up tomorrow feeling refreshed, having a new outlook in life, and that they will truly just experience the love of God in a supernatural way in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If I can ask you, precious Nelly, can you please do an altar call for those listeners that don't know Christ and want to be saved?
To all the young people that heard the word of God today, if you know that you need Christ, you can feel that there is something that is missing in you, you know, There's that hole in you. You are trying to be grateful. You are trying to love people. You are trying everything, but nothing seems to work. Only Jesus can give you life. Only Jesus can give you that peace. If you are there, just say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I humble myself. I turn away from my wicked ways. I need you to be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Cleanse me, make me whole. I'm your child. I pray right now that you be the one that is going to lead me. Let your word continue to be the lamp unto my feet in the name of Jesus. If you have prayed this prayer with me, you are a child of God. Today, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Continue to seek his face. Continue to read the word. Continue to communicate with him. He will fill you with his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you very much.
Thank you, beautiful Nelly. And for those that have been just saved, we encourage you to find yourself a Bible-based, spirit-filled church so that you can grow in the Word of God, because God wants you to mature and become into sonship, okay? And beautiful Myrtle, any last inspiration for our listeners?
All I can tell you is submit to God. He loves you. He will forgive all your sins. He loves you with an everlasting love. Go to your bedroom tonight, pray on your knees and ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you and you will be His child forever.
Yes, and for our listeners, last words from me, suicide is not an option. When you decide to think of suicide, you're telling yourself death is your home. So God loves you, your soul is precious to Him. So if you feel downtrodden, do what David did. Go and read Psalms, encourage yourself in the Word, and God will build you up. We love you. From the four of us, Shanaz, Nelly, Myrtle, and myself, be blessed.